I feel like I want to do that with musicals.
Honestly, I feel like that's what I do with musicals after exactly. I see them. I'm like, okay, I really liked it, but this is how I would fix it. Right,
this is exactly. good. This is good.
Which okay. is like
if I would okay, how
the worst.
Cut all dream ballets. Always.
We no, do not need no. Enhance them. Find ways we to do, put them in.
No. No dream ballets ever.
No montages. None of those.
I don't.
No, never a montage.
Oh. I ooh, do want tap battles. More tap battles.
Yes, yes. Yes to that. Always.
Sitting on time while belting up Bordeaux, pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Cadence and Tunes. When Ben Brandy cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a dance into.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, Mom.
Hi, friends. Hi, Moms. We are so excited about today.
So excited about today.
Especially because we're out of the rain.
We're out. It's so wet right now.
It's like summer, and so it's like steamy rain. Mm. So you just like want to go and take a cold shower.
Yeah, it's a juxtaposition
yeah.
of like, I've never understood rain like this.
No, it's gross. And especially yeah. in New York because you're like around all of these people and they're like in your way and their umbrellas in your face. And I'm yeah. very short. Mm-hmm. So my umbrella is the one that's doing the hitting because I'm very short and right. my umbrella is at like eye level for everyone else. Yeah, that's short people problems.
You've made many a blind person.
I have, you know, that's my legacy. So another special thing about today, Jimmy,
yeah.
is that we're here at the Palace Theater. Right. Like, we are on location.
We are on location.
Yes. It's because I just came back from California, so I have, like, all of these, like, film buzzwords in my head.
On location is a film buzzword. Hey, have you heard of a camera? Perhaps a close-up? I went to California. I kind of know all these things, you know.
Yes.
I had lunch once, and then I saw Steven Spielberg, like, across the street, so it was kind of like...
But, like, I only had a salad with avocado.
I only had avocado.
Oh, but speaking of avocados, I ate so many
They're
in
great.
California.
They're so good.
And now that I'm back in New York, it's just not the same. Like, I made guacamole the other day, and I was like, this is supposed to make me happy, and it's not.
Sad.
It's just sad. How's your week going?
It's good. Staying dry.
Staying dry. I get it.
I did not make any guacamole this week.
It's because I'm on this new, like, cooking thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I did not cook last year. Like, listeners, you were listening to Chants and Tunes because that's all I was doing was drinking wine. There was no food that was going along with this. Just drinking.
Just drinking.
So I'm happy that this year I am a little bit more balanced.
I'm a little more upset. I went to California. I took yoga. I took one class. I mean, I was watching outside of the window, but I felt like I kind of, like, got it.
But, like, my spirit is just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm shining light right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes. So I've been cooking a lot more, which has been awesome, and I'm hoping that that's going to continue into the year. We're going
to
see.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We'll have to chronicle this.
Oh,
the continuing
yeah.
journey of Jessica cooking.
Oh, God. That's going to be a good Insta story.
I made pasta.
Actually, the other day, so this is for my mom. This is literally just for my mom right now. I made riced cauliflower stir fry.
That's wonderful. Also, you know you can just call your mom.
No, this is how she and I communicate, only
right?
through this podcast.
Okay. That's fine. To my mom, hey, I'm doing good. If you want to send $40, though, I would totally take it. Thank you.
Great. Let's introduce our guest.
Let's introduce our guest. And let's see if she wants to say anything
yeah,
to her
she can,
mom.
She can say hi to her mom. You guys, I'm so excited about our guest this week. She is a dear friend, even though we're meeting for the first time in person today. It's so exciting. Julianne Gottfried.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my gosh.
Actual voice, too.
Correct. That is how I think.
Do you want to say anything to your mom?
Hi, Mom. I just saw my mom, and she made me guacamole in California.
Oh, I love that. See?
It's everything. It's not good here.
Are you from California?
I am.
What part?
From NorCal,
sure.
not SoCal, the Bay Area, and Fremont.
What? Fairfield.
Oh, all right. Wait, Fairfield is like...
Vallejo?
Yes, Vallejo, north of me. Yeah. Great, yes.
Got best it. Friends
we're
already.
Best friends
Fairfield,
now.
Good.
Oh, my ugh, goodness.
Best friends. Love it. I miss it. It's the best.
We, sorry, this is what this podcast is
about. It really is. Before we get into everything SpongeBob, I want to hear a little bit about you and your journey to New York, and then we'll get into the show.
Yeah.
But I want to hear, like, your story.
The show. Gosh, I want to hear my story and make sense of it. My name is Julianne Godfrey, and I came out here 7 years ago, come September 1st, which is crazy.
Wow.
From California. I started as a competition dance kid.
Yes.
And so that's sort of...
Competition dance kid.
Oh, yes. Oh, are you kidding? No. Wait, we must have competed at the same places. Yes. Oh, my God. And, like, kids are... Artistic Review and Showbiz. I went to Mission Dance and Performing Arts. And I was just back there, and they're not in the same building anymore, which is bizarre. Oh, so everything has changed. Oh, sad. Where did you go?
Dance Direction or the Lisa Clark Dance?
Yes. Oh, my God. I bet you we were on that same stage. Platinum. Yeah, so that was how I began. Actually, and I think my parents put me in dance class thinking, like, oh, this girl is dancing to, what's it called, the Bare Necessities, and Jungle Book was my jam. And I would dance around in diapers, and they were like, great, let's put her in dance. And I showed up, and I screamed and cried behind my mom's legs the entire class, and she was like, nope, this is not it. And I was like, I think I was 2.5 at the time, and a year later, I asked her to go back, which I don't remember at all. And she was like, okay, and I never left.
Wow.
Super weird. So I started there, and then in seventh grade, I tried out for The Wizard of Oz in our junior high, you know, show. And I kind of sung in choir and stuff, but I was super shy. My mom was terrified because I had just transferred from a private school to a public school. I didn't know anybody, and I was definitely not.
I didn't know anybody either.
Those public school kids are so mean.
Oh, my goodness. We have everything in common. We're the same person.
This is your best friend.
We are the same person.
What if you were just in my house in California? California, and I didn't know. Anyway,
what if I'm the mirror image of you?
What if? Like, I mean, I see it. We have
Alex
brown eyes.
The looking glass.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. We can do sideshow tomorrow. We're ready.
Ready.
Great. Yes. So at any rate, I tried out for The Wizard of Oz, and I came home and said, "Hey, Mom, I got a call back for Dorothy," and she goes,
"What?
Did they hear you sing?" I was like, thanks, Mom. Hi, Mom. That was funny. And I ended up getting it, which was cool. And my mom, fun fact, is actually the music director. She's also a retired surgeon, but she is the music director at our community theater at home, which is Starstruck Theater. They're awesome. Check them out. And so before we started doing shows there, she played for me in the pit of Wizard of Oz, which was very cool. I grew up in that sort of place. And then I was like, wait, I love singing and I love acting, you know, but I never was the person who was like, I'm moving to New York. I have to do this. And then in college or before, when I was applying to colleges, I was too scared to apply outside of California. So I only applied there. I got into most places, but I only applied to UCLA first choice because I had to for theater. Like, they wouldn't let you just, like, audition if you weren't serious about it, which makes sense. And so my mom, being the best mom in the world, flew me out to Chicago in the dead of winter. It was -7 degrees because I couldn't go to the LA auditions or the San Francisco ones because I was doing a show. And I will never forget being, like, the California kid in a little tank top and cut-off cropped pants, being like, here I am, Chicago. It's so cold.
You're from the Bay Area.
Oh, my God. They could smell it. Anyway, so I went to school at UCLA, which was awesome. Still didn't know that I was really going to do this. Was sort of like, I'm good at this, and I like this, and you believe in me enough. Great. I'll go with your beliefs. And then I moved here only because my friend, Courtney Stokes. Hi, Courtney. Her mother founded that theater that we grew up doing,
gotcha.
Starstruck. So she moved out here from UC Irvine, and I was doing summer stock up in Woodstock, New York, from the Straw Hat auditions
that I went to.
My mom also flew me out there and waited all day through my callbacks and all that. And I ended up doing this gig at Woodstock, the Woodstock Playhouse, which was awesome. It was their first season since the theater had been burned to the ground twice. Oh. So we were like their inaugural cast after the rebuilding. It was awesome. It was a great summer. And Courtney calls me in the middle of the woods. You know, there's like nothing for miles. And she's like, hey, I found this apartment and I need to buy tomorrow. Do you want to move to New York? It's like, let me get back to you. Okay. And sure enough, I've been in that same apartment for 7 years and my best friends, and it's been awesome. Yeah.
I feel like we all have that story of somebody calling us being like, I'm moving now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are you coming?
Yeah.
Like, literally, I think that's what happened to me with my first apartment here in New York.
Oh, my goodness.
With somebody being like, I found it.
Yeah.
Are you in or out?
Yeah. And you have to jump on it.
Yeah, you have to know.
I sent her, I will never forget, putting the envelope with, like, a $2,000 check in it in the post office box in the woods and being like, well, here we go. I'm doing this.
Hope it gets there.
Hope it finds you. And I'd never seen the place, and I show up, and it's, you know, on the train, basically, the above-ground train.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, what have I said yes to? But we love it, and
that's
we're super, super lucky. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
Let's drink some wine,
yes,
and then we'll get into the fun stuff.
Yes.
So, Jimmy, I'm going to have you pass these out.
Absolutely. This is for you.
Love it.
So
this is for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. She smells good.
So we'll go ahead and sniff it.
Let me give you
the rundown. So I went to
it
has been, you guys. It really has been. So I went to South Dakota with my family for some time here in the summer, and of course we went to a winery because it's me.
Of course.
Of course. And so we went to this winery called the Prairie Berry Winery. And
I love that.
Right? It's so cute.
Prairie Berry.
Right?
They're all from Ireland.
And they basically make their wines from the berries of the area. So they're not technically wine grapes.
Yeah.
So they make these berries from, like, the buffalo berry or from rhubarb.
Ooh,
or, wow. Like, black raspberries. I have no idea what a buffalo berry is. I am just repeating what they told me. but I got to taste a bunch of those wines, and they were great. They're just really sweet.
Yeah, that feels like a winery in New Hampshire that I've been to, which it's, since it's just cold there constantly, they take, like, this is their cranberry wine, and this is their, like, blueberry wine. And
like ice wine, right?
Kind of. Yeah, because the grapes are frozen, and then they press them. But what I really appreciate about this winery is that it's a female winemaker, which you don't find very often.
Yeah.
And it's been, like, a generational thing. Like, it's been, this has been in their family for a really long time. And I think that that's really neat. And they like, are always coming up with new and inventive ways to make wine.
Is it passed down from mother to daughter? And if, like, if you have a son, you're like,
you're like, shut up.
You cannot touch the grapes,
right?
Child.
Put on this wig.
Only the wig.
So this wine is actually not made from prairie berries. It's made from, like, actual grapes. But what happened was that the winemaker went back to the wines that her great-great-grandmother, Anna Pesa, which is
pretty bottled,
what the wine is named after, it's from her winemaking notes from back in Czechoslovakia.
Oh.
So they have pretty similar.
They have wine in Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
I thought they just had dirt and despair.
Actually, the phylloxera epidemic.
Spell that.
PH, and lots of L's and X's.
Yes.
It actually wiped out all of the grapes in Europe, including Czechoslovakia.
The Black Death of wine.
Basically, yeah. And so, thankfully, people had grafted some of the European rootstock, which is how we have wine in America.
Get out of here. Okay.
Crazy, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you didn't know you were getting history today.
I did not.
Grafting. Thank God.
Thank God. So they took the recipes from what she had been doing back in Czechoslovakia and made all of these wines, including this, which is a Meritage wine.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
So basically we have red wine blends, and if you use Cab Sav, Merlot, and Cab Franc, you can get what's called a Meritage.
Ooh.
Though you don't say it Meritage. Most places are like, it's French Meritage. That's not true. It's Meritage, like heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And Meritage.
Like, a lot of people say Moet Champagne, or a lot of people say Moet.
Oh, right.
Moet.
But it's Moet.
Yeah.
Moet.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
nuts. Yep. So
not
this
trying
is
to be fancy people. Right.
All right.
You from the Bay Area.
Let's go ahead and sniff this.
Yes, I love sweet wine, so I'm all about it.
Well, and this is still going to be a drier version, but it's going to be pretty fruity. Like, I'm getting a lot of fruit on this.
Yeah,
a lot of
fruit. It smells so good.
Yeah, like raspberry and blackberry and mulberry. Mm-hmm.
You don't know what a mulberry is.
Mulberry bush. Here we go around the mulberry bush. Right?
Just because it's in a
or
song
what I
doesn't
saw
mean
I know what it is. It's Dr. Seuss.
Right? No.
Okay.
Very nice.
Let's go ahead. And there's also, like, leather and spice in there.
I smell the spice. The leather's a little harder.
Are you not gonna leather? Okay.
I'm so just bad me at this game. I'm always like, yes, okay. I smell the steel and the rubber.
Uh-huh. I'm always still just trying to find wet rock.
Yeah, yes. There's no wet rock in there.
Did we finally get we
were like, oh, yes, tennis balls. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tennis balls.
Is that real?
Yeah. Wait, I made that up. No. That's a real thing for, like, Sauvignon Blanc. Like, freshly opened tennis balls or, like, cat pee. That's
real. If it's, like, cork twine, right?
Oh. No. That's a good Sauvignon Blanc, you can immediately smell cat pee.
Really?
Yeah, and that's like how you know on like a blind tasting.
Ooh, fancy white wines, things that you would never actually put in your mouth.
Correct.
Yeah. Cat pee. Balls.
Let's taste.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Super fruity.
Okay, but I was going to say it's like not at the beginning.
No.
Not, it's like, it's the finish is fruity.
Yeah. But I feel like the beginning is like, for me, this is a little bit sweeter than I would normally go, but I think that's why I like it.
Uh-huh.
Is because it's different, it's not heavy at all.
Are we making connections?
We are making connections.
There's like an explosion at the end. I don't
right?
know.
Ooh. Right?
Like a climax?
Like confetti? Ooh.
Yes, there we go. SpongeBob confetti.
Welcome to
Canada's
Tomb. All right, welcome to Canada's Tomb.
You know, it's both.
But that's kind of what I was going for with this wine. As soon as I tasted it, I actually, like, I didn't even know that we were going to get together to do this episode, but as soon as I tasted this wine, I thought SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Just because of the story of, like, a female leader
mm-hmm.
who was being mm-hmm. super creative in saying, okay, I don't have, like, regular winemaking grapes, but what can I do with what I have to be creative and come up with a great product? And the fact mm-hmm. that this wine in itself, like, doesn't have, like, a ton of depth to it, but it doesn't need to be fantastic.
Right, just like the musical as well, Ethan Slater's been on this, making this wine for 8 years.
Right, exactly, uh-huh. Yeah.
His
just
feet
about,
it.
Yes, yes.
So for our listeners, again, this is the Prairie Berry Anna Pesa Meritage 2015 vintage.
It's so
2015.
Good.
See, and what makes it vintage? Like, how many years have to go by before you're like, oh, yes, it's vintage?
A vintage is just saying, like, it was made in this year.
Oh, so it could be, like, 2018 vintage.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Some it's places like, do have a little bit more of a stipulation. Like, with French wine, if it's a 2018 vintage, that means that it was actually picked. It could be, like, in 2016, and then it was aged. It depends on, like, the wine and the laws and things
like
that.
It's just, like, another name for, like, Year.
Made in.
Yeah.
Got it. Interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, totally.
I'm so surprised by the color of this. I'm so surprised by you, like, you chose a red wine. It's a delicious. It's perfect for the show, but mm-hmm. I would think that, like, this show would be Prosecco
but it's
like
not.
Like a Sauv, you know, like a white wine
something
or something.
Bubbly.
Because yeah. I feel like what I, yes, I understand where you're coming from.
Like a juice box, like a Capri Sun juice box.
Oh, see, I think this tastes like a juice box.
Right? Right? No, that is completely what I was thinking as well. But I also think that the show is something that's also truly, like, American in that it was done, like, all over America with people all over writing the music. It is made from an American TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, coming up with something that's so, I mean, this wine is from South Dakota, doing right. A truly American red blend.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was going in that direction, too.
Bikini Bottom is an American city. All right.
Hey, we don't know.
Who knows?
We think it's at the bottom of the Hawaii, oh gosh, I never say this right, atoll or atoll, like A-T-O-L-L.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Did I spell
atoll?
That right? I hope so.
Atoll? Atoll?
Yeah.
Guys,
anyways.
Moms, tweet at us.
Mom, yeah, let us know.
Get
phone
a Twitter account and then
phone a friend.
Tweet at us.
Or no, because the...
Oh, sorry, moms. Actually, get on your own podcast. Make your own podcast.
There we go.
We'll subscribe to it. And then you just, like, we'll go back and forth to each other.
Yeah, that's a great idea. A mom cast. Yes. I love that. And they're like, what are our kids doing every week? We don't know. This is how we communicate.
Right.
I have another podcast with my mom where we review Riverdale. But it's also just her excuse to be like, so what's going on?
How are you? Are you dating anyone? Honey? Are you eating enough? Great.
Neil, we need to get him more money. He needs food. Always special guest to my father.
Right. So I want to go a little bit backwards.
Yeah.
So you've been with the show forever.
Not forever. For
And how long have you been with the wine?
With the wine, we've just met.
Okay.
However, it's going to be a long-lasting romance, I can tell you that. No.
Honey, you see anybody?
Meritage. I am seeing Anne. And Mom, I have big news for you as a woman. I'm sorry.
No, we're supportive of whatever you like.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Male, female, wine, or human.
Purple, red, white, we don't care.
We don't care. Love is love.
You know? I think I auditioned 3 years ago for what was then called the Untitled Tina Landau Project.
Yes, I remember that. I remember those auditions.
Yes. Did you go in?
No, I did not. Because
okay.
I was like,
did I see you?
I wish. What was I doing? I was doing something else at the time that I was like, I can't go in for that right now. But I knew that it was going to be something that they were going to be like workshopping.
Yes.
And I knew it had something to do with Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
But that was kind of all that I – because this has been in the works for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I knew it was going to be something along that track. So you auditioned 3 years ago. What was that audition like?
Oh,
do you remember?
God. It was nuts. It was crazy. It was whatchamacallit. So I don't think I even knew it was for Nickelodeon. I don't think I knew anything. I didn't even know who Tina Landau was. Hi, Tina. And I went in – and it was a mashup of everything I have ever had to do in an audition room. Right. So it started as a dance call. We did hip-hop. We did tap. We did a lot of improv of just everything. Mm. And then we sang a bunch of things. And I distinctly remember going by the boys' room, and there were boys on skateboards while playing instruments. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I in for? What am I doing here? And so the dancing went well, and usually that's kind of like what I feel comfortable with. So I was like, okay, this is fine. And we sing, and I think they had us sing a couple things that day. I don't even remember. And this was for a 6-week lab, so it wasn't even for the out of town or anything. The coolest part was the part with Tina where it was all women. And I think one of the first things she did was she put us in a circle, and this came later too, but she would turn on Beyonce, Girls Who Run the World, and just said, dance. And we were like, okay. And she was like, be weird, be funny, like do whatever you want, just embrace you. Like, don't be afraid of being weird. And so then she also did exercises like, okay, go in groups of three and create 3 8 counts of a dance together. Do things that are indicative of what cartoons can do, be it, you know, exploding or pumping a person up full of air or, you know, enact a character bit, essentially, of like you get stung by a jellyfish. How does that look? What happens? You get flattened by someone. What does that look like? And then she played this doomsday music and had us, she was like, okay, your prompt is the world is ending in slow motion. Go. And it'd be one person at a time, very surreal, just kind of like melting into the ground. It's just truly bizarre.
Right.
And all of us were kind of like, that was the weirdest, coolest audition room I've ever been in my life. We all left being like, I don't care if I get that. That was crazy. Cool.
Right.
I didn't get it, which was fine because I had sort of lined up a bunch of jobs that I was really excited about that summer. So I kind of forgot about it. And I was like, you know, that was crazy. Whatever. Right. And the next year, I think... there was a different choreographer then. Mm-hmm. I had worked with Christopher Gattelli. Hi, Chris. He's the best. And he had hired me on my first Equity job.
Nice.
Which was the Great American Mousicle at Goodspeed Musicals, directed by Julie Andrews. Mm-hmm. And that was nuts. And I had never worked with him. I just knew he was the guy on Newsies. And I was like, oh, my God. So he was now with the project but didn't know that I had been in for it, which I thought was kind of funny. And I was temping one day, and I got a Facebook message saying, hey, it's Chris. Are you free to play next week? And I'm like, yeah. Like, what do you have going on? And it turned out to be a dance lab for SpongeBob with Tina Landau. And so I remember I had come from a wedding the day before, got there late. I come in, and the first thing that Tina said was, hi, my name is Tina, I steal it, Landau. And we're just going to take all of your ideas this week and throw them at the walls and see what sticks. And we had an incredible, our music director now, Julie McBride, was playing piano, who's insane. Like, she can play anything, and she would play, you know, like rodeo music, and we'd play with that, or she would play cool jazz or whatever it is, and we would just move around the room as different creatures, or we'd play with cardboard boxes for the number that's now called No Control in our show. Right. We strapped sponges to our hands, and we played with shapes that would empower SpongeBob and show his confidence. We tapped with our hands and feet. At one point, there was a number called I'm Not a Loser, which now is like a big Busby Berkeley, you know, right, Broadway production number. But then Chris was sort of like, what if, you know, these anemones like have creatures on their hands and feet, and what if we play with that? So we had taps on our hands, and we were doing time steps, like, on the ground on all fours. It was,
oh my gosh,
so bizarre. So that happened. In the middle of that week, they were like, oh, by the way, do you want to actually audition for this show? And we're like, yeah. So one day we were leaving early to go to the auditions, and Tina was like, where are you guys going? Like, to audition for this. So it, like, total, I think it was probably like a series of 8 auditions where we had to create our own vaudeville bit in front of the entire room by yourself that involved playing with like a piece of clothing, or I ended up, I think, she wanted to see movement too, and she kind of gave you guidelines, but you had to make it up. So I said, what if I, you know, I'm getting in an elevator and pantomiming that, people get out, I do a little dance, and then, you know, I freak out and stop when they come back in, and
right,
something simple. And then they were like, can you do some acapella tap for us? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, great. What about hip hop? Just like no music, you know, like jamming in front of the whole table. And you're like, okay.
Just a normal experience.
They're like, why don't you sing like 5 things from your book? Okay, keep going. And you're like, don't know what else is happening. And then you read for like 4 different characters, all of which could be the gypsy fortune teller or the spoiled bratty daughter or the newscaster or a sardine.
The spoiled bratty gypsy fortune teller.
Truly. Yeah. So that all happened, and they said, can you play an instrument? And I was like, let me try and play the flute after like 10 years. And I tried to play the SpongeBob theme song, and it was okay, I suppose. Come back in with that thing that I haven't touched in forever.
Well, that's everybody's.
But I'm in the bathroom of Telsey, like furiously practicing the flute, and all of the women walked in on me practicing, and I came in and was like, hey guys, really sorry you heard that. Anyway, all of that happened. I had booked a job in D.C. Later on, and it was like a whirlwind final callback trip back where I hadn't been. I was a replacement in that show, had to take a bus back, have like a full round of auditions that day, then go back for my first show that night. And a couple weeks later, I got a phone call that was like, hey, do you want to be the swing? It wasn't dance captain yet. It was just one of the swings, and I had never swung. And I was like, yeah. And I even thought in those auditions, like, Mom, I did all the things. Like, I'm so proud of myself. Cool. They'll see that I did all the things. And I was like, oh no, they saw that I did all the things. Yes. And then they ask you to do more things.
All the things.
Yeah. So that was that journey. And then my agent was like, why don't we push for dance captain? And I was like, they're not gonna give me that, but sure. And sure enough, I was like, so it's been wacky, but that's how that happened.
That's awesome. Now tell me a little bit, I mean, I am hoping that our listeners have gone and at least listened to the soundtrack of SpongeBob. I know that one of my favorite numbers is I'm Not a Loser, just because I feel like it is so musical theater nerdy, but you wouldn't know it if you weren't a nerd. Like, to me, favorite. I'm like, oh, Busby Berkeley Circle.
Completely,
like,
yeah.
Oh, this is like the whole chorus line section. Oh, this is the tab set. Like, it is so nerdy. And because Alex Gibson, who was on our show, covers Squidward.
Yes, he does.
So sometimes he gets to sing it,
which is
so much fun.
He just did last week. He's
right? Yeah. He's so great. But what, besides...
Shout out to Alex.
Yes.
Hey.
Shout out to Alex.
He was on today for Purge.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's right. But what are some of your favorite moments?
Oh, man. That's definitely my favorite number to do.
I don't stink. I'm not a waste. I'm not all alone in thinking that I'm not, not, not all alone.
You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not.
Although, random tangent, I went on my birthday, and I felt like a face planted in that number real hard, and it was hysterical. And I was like, no, it's my favorite number. but it's my favorite because...
the whole year.
This is my life. Oh, God, I've hit rock bottom.
My birthday is going to be like,
I've hit bikini bottom.
did you just say I hit bikini bottom?
I did. I hit bikini bottom.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Oh,
that's the end of the show.
But it's my favorite because I've always loved tap. That's always been my favorite form of dance. I think Chris Catelli is a genius at putting that kind of movement together on a cast that is not comprised of tappers.
Right.
So that was
Never know, though.
Yes.
You would never know.
Good, 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 good. Way to go, cast. and they worked so hard.
Yes.
No, I'm just
working.
I'm just a concerned dance captain. It was really actually beautiful to watch everybody in that room of all back. I think that's what's beautiful about our show is everybody is from a completely different background, has completely different strengths, and Tina wanted all of those things to gel beautifully, and I think they do. But that number was sort of like, I mean, I shouldn't even say it, but I will, the secrets of SpongeBob. But there are like two different groupings of choreography in that number so that if you're not as comfortable, then it still looks like you're doing all the things, but it's not quite as complex.
Yeah.
So that was useful.
They should do that for everything.
You know.
Right.
But
there's
Chris.
There's even a chorus line where it's just like.
There you go. Yes.
And if you just like want to like mark a double turn. Like,
there are no double turns in our show, I don't think. But but Chris, I think
what
he.
Can you put a double turn in?
I mean, well, some people put them in.
Tina, can you put a double
We need a double. We need a triple. What Chris does so beautifully is, I mean, so a lot of people will say sometimes that some of his choreography is musical staging, not to his detriment. I think he's so good at saying, you know, what is this number about and why are these creatures doing this, especially in a wacky world like Bikini Bottom.
Yeah.
So what I love about it is that guys and girls alike are in pink sequin tights living their best lives.
Exactly.
You know, and they're all there to support Squidward and this crazy number of, you know, the whole song is about how he's not a loser and he needs backup, basically. But I think it's beautiful. And there's this big light up sign that comes in at the end and the tails and the top hats and everything. It's just, I love it. It's good.
It's a really fun one.
It's so much fun.
Well, and then I'm Not a Simple Sponge.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so good.
That's his other favorite.
And
just give me adventure. I'm a contender and more. I will show I'm not just a sponge next door. Just a simple sponge. You're wrong, Mr. Krabs. I'll find a way to stop that volcano.
That one is the hardest to swing, for sure.
Yeah.
Because you're in the dark.
Yeah.
And you can't see, even when you're backstage trailing people, you're like, who is who? And the only way I know sometimes is because some of their socks glow in the dark. So that's Laurelyn. And so charting that in the beginning, I even said in the dance lab, we were joking, you know, making all these different shapes with sponges. And we were like, oh, what if we build stairs? What if we make a pyramid? What if we make a cape? And I was like, this is going to suck for the swing. Ha ha, ha ha, ha. Famous last words. But what's beautiful about it is that it's so simple. You know, it's just people using their hands to create, you know, sponge shadows, essentially. And it's just kind of beautiful and poetic and crisp the whole time.
I think it is. Well, and just from a writing perspective.
Yeah.
And that people can really relate to it. What I love about the show is that it is so inclusive for people, and that it is really teaching a lesson of you, like, authenticity and be true to yourself, and everything will follow in time.
Yeah.
And that, like, you even, you might not be the hero, but it's okay because you still have, like, a place.
Yeah. Well, and I love, I said this the other day, where so many little boys come to our show, and it makes me cry when I look at them, you know, bouncing up and down in their seats, because boys, I feel like now it's either, like, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or whatever it is, which I love.
Yeah, what's wrong with those?
I mean, nothing, nothing at all. I love all those things, but there's always this message that heroes have to be fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And SpongeBob is not a fighter in that sense at all. He never discusses violence. The only person who fights is Sandy, who does karate but is also a science whiz. And you're like, thank God for teaching little girls that they can do both of those things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, SpongeBob is the only one saying, no, we can actually work together as a community. It's okay to be vulnerable and to be brave. And, you know, it just, I think it's
well,
beautiful.
And to have, to your point, to have a kid show that doesn't have a princess
as
the lead, I think is really important right now.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that it, I feel like it's inclusive also for like people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And people that identify as anything other than cisgendered.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
You got guys in tutus, which is lovely.
Yeah.
People commented on that. Yeah.
And that it really just, it embraces everything. Just simply by being a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, and
but not being in a cartoon costume.
Yes, that's what we, that was always kind of Tina's vision, was she was like, it's not a cartoon, it's you inhabiting these as real people.
Right.
How do we make the stakes equally important and real?
Right.
I had something, it's gone. Nope.
That's okay.
Totally gone.
That's okay.
Anyway,
but yes. And tell me a little bit, just because I don't think that our listeners might know what a typical day for a swing is.
Oh,
so say
boy.
That you're coming in the stage door ready for a show, but you don't know if you're going on.
That is every day of my life. Oh God. Okay. So we have had 1 week of this show since November, where a swing has not been on.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy, I think. Maybe a lot of shows are like that now, I don't know. But I actually was thrown in early on in the studio because a girl rolled her ankle real bad in our first run-through.
Wow.
There were 30 executives from Nickelodeon. Steve Hillenburg, the creator of SpongeBob, was in the room.
Ooh.
And I watched her go down, and I was like, ooh, she's not okay.
Oh.
My notes were in the other room. I couldn't get to them. Mm. Another swing was already in, so he had the rest of my notes. And so I, like, run back, and I'm like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, I don't know yet. And two numbers later, she's like, I'm out. So I put on my hat and glasses for the sardine part, which is all this, like, intricate tutting choreography and lines that I had never done. And I look over and I see Tina in the corner, and she's shaking her head at me like, what is going on? I'm like, she rolled her ankle. I'm good. Okay, here we go. And ran in, and everybody's like, what the hell? So that was nuts.
Oh,
and then I
gosh.
Ended up being in for all of all of tech in the first week of previews, which was sort of my saving grace, because then I got to learn the show slowly and carefully.
Yes.
Right.
And that took a lot of the fear out of it for me, because in Chicago, that was the other part of the story of how this came to be. We did an out-of-town tryout 2 years ago. We were supposed to go to Broadway that fall and didn't get a theater.
Right.
So I actually gave up my Broadway debut in something else because I thought SpongeBob was happening, and then it didn't. And I was like, oh, it's the end of the world. So it was crazy because none of the swings had ever been on. It was only a five-week run. So we were all terrified. You know, we were like, we still don't know this show. What's going to happen? So a typical day other than, I mean, that was sort of the normal in the beginning was, you know, I could be on for literally anyone at any given moment. And after that first week of previews where I knew that one track solid, I panicked because I didn't know anybody else's track.
Yep.
And as dance captain, that's your most valuable time is tech.
Yeah.
And I hadn't charted anything.
Oh, no.
Anything. So, I mean, thank God I had an assistant. Right. And charting just means, you know, writing down an X mark of literally every person on the stage at any given moment in the show. And I had none of that time. So I was like, if I have to be anybody tomorrow, I don't know what I'm doing.
And do you – so I know that when I typically swing or dance captain, I am so old school and do it, like, everything by hand. Mm-hmm. But do you use, like, StageWrite or anything?
No, I thought about purchasing it, and it was just easier to write it all down.
Yeah.
It's just
– I am a by-hand girl.
Although what's funny is now I'm kind of, like, finishing documenting my own stuff, and I feel like I should take pictures of everything.
Yeah, seriously.
But, yeah, so I guess a typical day could be a number of things. But, for instance, the day before Christmas, one of our guys came in, was vomiting. Sorry, not currently, but one of the swings comes running upstairs, and she goes, I just ran into this guy, and he just threw up four times on the train coming in.
Oh, my God.
But he wouldn't call out. And so we were like, oh, no, what are we going to do? And the poor guy felt horrible, but he's like, maybe I can still do it. He couldn't do it. He was still vomiting in the dressing room.
Oh,
we had 20 minutes to go till the show, and Alex Gibson was thrown on in his debut in his secondary track. So his your primary tracks are the one that you cover first. Yeah. This was his secondary, so he hadn't even gotten there yet to learn it. And I ran around like a crazy person with him, being like, okay, this is next. Okay, oh, you can't wear that wig. Let's talk to hair. I don't know. Ooh, it was insane. And that's happened to just about every swing on this show. So there really truly is no, like, for me, actually, I had the most normal experience of, like, you're guaranteed a week because this girl is injured, or, like, people have vacations. But normally we'll come in, there's a text thread from our stage manager who will say, these are the people who are out today. But that could change up to 15 till, you know, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had mostly, like, minor injuries. I've had one mid-show swing on where I was sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first – I've watched almost every show if I've not been in the show. There were very few times where I'll sit up here and just chill because it took me so long to learn what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous because there's just so many moving parts. And I hear over the intercom, I'm like, downstairs, please. And I'm like, did they just say my name? No, they weren't talking about me. And my fellow swing Bryn was like, you should go check. It sounded like you. I'm like, all right. So I go down five flights of stairs, and they're like, you're on. You have 2 minutes. Get in costume now. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
For a track that I'd never been on for, didn't try on costumes for. And so the first thing that it was literally about 2 minutes where I didn't even have a wig prep. I had no makeup on. I looked disgusting. And I go in for the mermaid track, and I'm like, I'm the ugliest mermaid that's ever lived. And I go on stage.
Hi,
Lily.
Come over here.
siren. And the first thing that we do is push on Patrick on this big float and then freeze for like 2 minutes.
Right.
My heart was just like, I didn't know what I was doing. And they were basically like, here's this mermaid tail you've never tried on. Zip it up. Oh, good. It fits. Go on. It was crazy. Yeah. So that was my only mid show, but that was pretty brutal.
How many tracks do you cover?
I cover five primary roles, which are the female ensemble mostly, but also technically seven women, or six and a half, I guess. One of them is a split track that I wouldn't cannot sing, so I'd be like, I will never be Pearl. but I've also played three boys now, maybe four.
Awesome.
that was crazy. But really, as a dance captain, you have to know all of them, so 21 tracks total.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay.
Well, here's something about the Palace Theater that I found out. So it's
an actual palace. There is a king and queen living up the top.
It's like Arendelle.
Love it.
It is haunted by the ghost of Judy Garland.
Judy at the Palace.
Yes.
And there's a door. She has her own door.
Really? Oh, I didn't know this. Tell me about this.
It's funny. It's
Judy, do you want some wine?
Judy, oh girl, she's been pissed lately that we're closing. Weird things are happening. there's a center door at the back of the house that is the Judy Garland door because apparently she wanted to come from the center, I think, at the back of the house as opposed to like the other aisles. So that's her door. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Well, so
now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
I love this game.
That was great.
That was, so
that was our best time that we've ever done it.
Give me some wine for that.
Yes.
Cheers.
Stop actually. Put wine in this cup, please.
I'm going to hand it to you because I have to do my notes. So our game today is Judy Garland trivia.
Oh, boy. I don't know anything.
That's okay.
I should have studied.
That's
Thank
okay.
You.
We're just going to try it, and if we all fail, we all fail.
Great.
We'll
she
fail
won't be
together.
Mad.
No, She'll, no, she won't supportive. Be mad. She's so supportive that we're even, like, chatting. Okay, so, well, this is a pretty good one to start with. What is...
You want to do cartoon trivia?
Oh, yeah. You know, I figured...
much better at that than Judy Garland.
I figured that you would be, so that's why I chose this one.
Voltron on Netflix.
A Star is Born.
So...
Ooh, I want that to be a cartoon. So
that's like... the Judy cartoon, that's an extra.
Does anyone know Judy Garland's real name?
Is it SpongeBob SquarePants?
Oh, wait. Oh, I knew this once upon a time. Judy Garland.
Is
nope.
it Shirley Temple?
Nope. I'll give you a hint. She was part of the Gum Sisters.
The Gum Sisters?
Is
I don't
it
know
Judy Gum?
No.
we're taking it this.
Is it like Mom? Elizabeth? No. Close.
France.
Yes.
Francis Gum.
Right. Yes.
Yep. What, she wanted to change to Disgusting Judy Garland. That's such a beautiful name. Francis Gum.
Well, I think she changed it because she wanted to be like a solo artist, and she was known
as the
Gum Sisters with her two sisters.
I see.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mary Jane and somebody else.
Huh. Oh, I thought it was Mary.
She was like,
Jane.
It's time to be Justin Timberlake.
Right.
I'm
She's like,
away.
I'm done. Does anyone know how many times she was married?
Oh.
You can just make a guess.
Three?
Close.
Five.
Ooh,
five.
Girl.
Yeah.
She gets around.
I
wonder if she's a vengeful ghost then.
So she was actually nominated, one of her films, she was nominated for both a Golden Globe and an Oscar.
Oh.
Does anyone know what it is?
For
one of her films.
Wizard of Oz?
Very famous. No. Very, very famous film.
Oh, Meet Me in St. Louis?
Nope. You brought it up earlier, though.
Oh, I did?
What?
Shoot. What did I say?
A Star is Born?
Yes! That is it!
Excellent. Which I still have not seen. Terrible.
It's been a long time. Right? So how old was Judy Garland when she died? 50, 53, 47, or 42?
Ageless.
47.
I still say ageless.
I mean, always.
Timeless. She beautiful.
47 is correct.
Yes. Because I thought she died younger than that for some reason.
I know. I did as well. I think it's because it's like part of the lore. It's like, oh, she died too young.
Of like the 27 Club or whatever.
Right.
What am I
right.
Terrible history facts.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like what's her bucket? It's 27, I think.
But like, have you heard, there's that recording of her singing San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's so good. And at the end of it, she's addressing the audience and she's so, you can tell, I mean, it's just towards the end, and she's like, and you're all so lovely, and I'll see you soon. Thanks so much. And then she leaves, but
and you're like, how did you, like, not fall over?
Yes, truly.
Yeah.
Did Judy Garland just possess you right now?
She did.
That was pretty incredible.
I will be in Chasing Rainbows next week. Thank you so much.
What movie role did Judy Garland lose because she was absent too many times? Was it Alicia Hull in Storm Center, Ilsa in Casablanca, Annie and Annie Get Your Gun, or Trudy and the Miracle of Morgan's Creek?
Oh. Wait, what was the third one?
Annie and Annie Get Your Gun.
Annie Get Your Gun. That would have been fabulous.
Fierce.
Wait, and what was the second one?
Ilsa and Casablanca.
I think that.
I literally was thinking about it, and I was like, didn't Doris Day play Annie? No, she was playing Calamity Jane.
She did.
I say Annie.
You were correct, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It was Annie Get Your Gun. And there's actually, if you go on YouTube, there's like footage of her
that would have been
in
so
rehearsal.
Good.
Yeah, she was just like,
I mean, I love
not
Martin,
there. But. I mean, Betty Hutton is like.
Oh, I'm thinking Mary Martin. Did she not do it?
No. She did it. I think Mary Martin, no. She did Peter Pan.
But I thought she had done an Annie Get Your Gun even before then. No, maybe I'm making that up.
No, because it was Ethel Merman on Broadway,
and then Betty
Hutton did the film version.
Movie. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mary Martin would have been great, too.
Right.
So in 1969, Judy Garland died. How did she die? Like, of what?
Ooh. Pill overdose, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleeping pill.
overdose.
So sad.
Crazy.
Not cocaine, because cocaine was involved, or no?
No, she did cocaine, but, like, that wasn't the reason.
Got it.
They would wake her up with, like, cocaine and amphetamines, and then, like, make her do all the stuff. And then at the end of the night, they're, like, shove sleeping pills down her throat and be like, bye-bye.
Oh, so sad.
Like, shut down now.
Yeah.
Like, she was a robot.
Truly.
A commodity.
Truly.
Crazy. What civil rights action was said to be brought on by her death?
Ooh.
Whoa.
Is this part of feminist history? I don't know. Civil rights action.
It happened here in New York.
Was it about the obtaining of drugs?
No.
Is it like an accessibility?
It was like, think a lot of people are really angry and there were fights that happened.
Oh, what? Stonewall?
Yeah.
Stonewall riot.
That's right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It happened the night of her death.
But how? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
True or false? Judy Garland does not have a Tony Award.
Ooh. True.
I think it's true.
False.
Oh, no.
She has a special Tony Award from 1952 with Judy Garland at the Palace, Two a Day.
Oh, wait. It was like her... that memorabilia is up in our lobby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
Wait, that's awesome.
Okay, last question. Here we go. What is the title of the 2012 show by Peter Quilter about her life?
Chasing Rainbows?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh, is it something about rainbows?
It does have rainbows.
End of the rainbow.
Not Chasing Rainbows.
Got it.
Well, because Chasing Rainbows is, right? I don't even know what Chasing
Rainbows is. No. It's Chasing Pavement right now.
Ah! Chasing Rainbows. It's because it's had so many auditions.
Yes.
Because they're doing a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're doing a new show. I think it's at like Paper Mill or Goodspeed or something like that, called Chasing Rainbows. That's a new Judy Garland show that they're doing like about the Gum Sisters, whereas End of the Rainbow is like a solo show.
Right.
Yeah, I know where your head's at.
As her version of Come Rain or Come Shine on it.
Yeah.
With the drums and it's like... Yep. So good.
Or the Happy and Come On Get Happy. Yes. Like, or Happy Days Are Here Again and Come On Get Happy. That's my favorite. It's my favorite jam. Thing.
She is.
Yeah.
Right. I swear, like, she's up in this theater. I mean...
Yeah.
They're, like, weird. We had a week of, like, weird happenings, and we were like, Judy is mad.
Tell us all. She's pissed. Put the lights down real low.
The only, so the Palace Theater is going to be renovated, which is why we're closing.
Right.
And it's going to be lifted 30 feet so that commercial retail can be put in underneath it. And this is supposed to have been happening for years, and all of a sudden they're like, we have the money. Great. Let's do it now. Bye, SpongeBob. So at any rate, once that was announced... I mean, everybody was kind of having a hard week, but I feel like there were weird things that happened that week. And now, I don't know, just maybe even prior to that, because there's a story of another ghost of a man who died doing circus kind of like flying stunts here, which I'm so glad I didn't know until this week, because that's exactly what we're doing in our show. There was a week with like some flying malfunctions, and we were like weird things that had never happened. And we were Judy's mad.
Yeah.
She's going in.
Because she's not going to be haunting the Palace Theater. She's going to be haunting, like, a Century 21.
I mean, she's like, great, Forever 21, the sequel down the street.
Well,
great.
They have to keep Judy's door, though.
They have to.
Oh, they have to.
But I don't see, this is the thing, is they're knocking out the basement, which is disgusting. Sorry,
and
Palace
then are
Theater.
They just, like, putting it on stilts?
There's some kind of architectural feat where they can lift the entire theater like 1 inch at a time, super slowly. It's going to almost be like a puppeteer, you know, like pulling it up. And it's a historic landmark. So they can't demolish it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I don't know. She'll just be 30 feet higher. Who knows?
Fantastic. Even better. She's just going to like look over Broadway.
Exactly. Oh, God.
This is where I was meant to be.
Maybe she's doing crazy stuff because she's so excited.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Judy, get on the show. Challenge you.
Right. Liza's like, I'm available.
Julianne. Tell us where our listeners can follow you on social media.
You can follow me at Julianne. Oh, God, is that my Instagram name? I think so. Julianne Godfrey. I have lots of followers, clearly.
I need to pause for half a second.
Yep.
And I wholeheartedly wanted your Instagram name to be at Julianne. Oh, God, is that my Instagram name?
Wait, that's good. I'm changing it today. That's what you can follow me at. Ooh, I suck at social media. No, it's Julianne with one N, J-U-L-I-A-N-E, Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-Y. And on my Facebook page.
Beautiful.
I have a Twitter, but I've only tweeted once because I don't like it.
What I don't like Twitter either.
I think I tweeted, like, tweet. New to Twitter. Bye. It was so dumb, and I've never checked it. I was like, I can't keep up. Like, Instagram I like because of all the pictures.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Yeah. Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson and on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JMHumphrey1. And you can follow the show at Tannins and Tunes. Send us an email at tannins and tunes@gmail.com.
Yeah. What shows do you want us to do?
What shows do you want us to do? And don't forget to...
What ghosts do you want us to host?
Yeah.
And, you know, what moms do you want us to talk to?
All the moms.
We'll talk to you. Send us
Judy's mom.
Send us an email saying something about your mom. We'll read it.
We'll talk about it.
Sure, why not?
And don't forget
this
to...
This is our new courier service.
Right. Couriers for mom.
Momcast.
So don't forget to subscribe and add your review so that we can pair a wine with your username.
Ooh.
Because that's really fun. And every time you review, we donate $1 towards the charity. And I think this month we're still doing fire relief for Napa.
Absolutely.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, because we're still super into that. And save especially because... Yeah, save the wine. And it's summer right now, and so it can get...
It's getting rough.
Especially California drought season and all that. So make sure to review so that we can donate money towards them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drink wine. Listen to musicals.
And listen to us.
Listen to us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you, Julianne. This is so much fun.
I love it.
Bye, friends.
Bye, moms.